DNVR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Back here at the Public House. Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Now, as everyone signed up for the contest, Hawaiian Airlines right here, we're going to send a couple to Kona, Kauai, or Honolulu. We'll do it at about 3:30 today. The best contest in the history of radio. You got the best odds of winning, and right here, who do we have working today, Pat?
We have just a great crew, Kathleen and Rowan. They got you taken care of. And, Marty, the weekend really gets cooking when we announce it's the best contest in the history of radio. Marconi wishes he'd have thought of this one, Marty. And this is a great trip. And so, yeah, we're going to send somebody out of here in about an hour and a half.
Go ahead, JT.
The guy with the blue L.A. hat on can't win, though, can he? And the
Screw
Dodger
him.
Jacket?
You should have seen Marty yesterday, JT.
Don't even say it.
Come on, Marty. It was fabulous.
By mistake, I wore a blue shirt
no,
yesterday.
No, Dodger blue with pinstripes.
Oh,
and
hey,
then,
look at this guy.
JT, well, yours is slightly is more of a navy blue.
I just go with whatever's clean.
Well, you're doing all right. Marty's got a blue shirt on, and he within 10 minutes, he's taking it off and putting on a fresh, crisp,
right here.
Giant
right here.
Izod, and it was awesome.
Perfect.
All right. Everyone thinks Matt Cain will be on the mound today. He will be eventually, but you'll see number six, JT Snow, out there earlier. JT, you're going to throw BP today.
I will, and I've been doing it the last couple of years. Yeah, when the Giants face a left-handed pitcher. Uh-huh. I made the mistake a couple years ago in spring training of begging Bam Bam Mullins, a hitting coach, to let me throw a BP. I used to pitch a little bit in high school and thought it would be a fun challenge. So I went out there one day in Scottsdale and I was pumping strikes, and the guys liked it. Just a straight, about 50-mile-an-hour little fastball down the middle, and I can give up some long ones. The guys like hitting off me. So, you know, whatever you can do to help the team. In 2010, I was throwing when they had to face Cliff Lee in the World Series twice. So I was throwing BP, and I was in the batting cage during the game for guys in between at-bats, and I was throwing to them and throwing to Pat Burrell. He struggled a little bit in that series, but guys would come in, and I would – get greased up, as Kruko says it. And just, it's fun to help out. And we're there throwing BP, and then we think it's important when you throw to a group of four guys. So usually I'll have the four guys. The last few days I've had Sandoval and Posey and Pence and Scudero. So when they do good in the game, you know, you feel like you've made a big impact, but you really haven't. You're just out there throwing BP. But we're rooting for our guys, and we have a game with the coaches whose group's going to get more hits and make a bigger contribution in the game.
So how do you do in that?
I do well.
All right. Fair. Naturally, you always do well. All right. Hey, how about the lineup today? And so everybody, listen to this lineup today. You know, Pagan's got the hamstring strain. So Torres leads off today in center field. Scudero second, Sandoval third. Posey is at first base today.
Okay.
Now, of course, a lefty is going against the Giants, Ryu, for the Dodgers. Pence in right field. Piguero in left field. I like that today. Quiros gets the catch today, the hero from last night. Pretty good. And Crawford at short, and Kane is pitching. And it brings me the question to JT. Hunter Pence is the only one right now who has played every single game. Do you ever play every game in a season?
No, I came close. I played in 161 one year, and then we were talking off the air. And of course, I didn't start them all, but ended up getting in the game somehow, defensively or pinch hitting. And I probably had 150 starts that year, but the one game I did, and I can still remember. It's funny how we remember things. And I was in Pittsburgh, and Dusty sent me out on deck. I didn't start the game. There was a lefty in the bullpen and a righty on the hill, and so the batter in front of me made an out. I think there was guys on base, so they announced my name. I went up, and they brought the lefty in, and Dusty pulled me back and put a righty. And that was probably early mid-August, and I remember saying, man, if I play in 161, I'm going to be a little PO'd, and sure enough, I played in 161. So
here's the thought. I mean, Crawford was the other one, and of course, he got a couple of days off, and Pence is still in there. What do you think about someone going 162? I mean, is that part of the game today, or is it just something that's not ever going to happen again?
It may happen. It takes a special guy that wants to be in there. Certain guys need a day off, maybe if they're grinding or struggling, the managers sit them down. But that's a great thing about the National League is you've got a chance to play late in the game. Maybe you pinch hit. Maybe you go in defensively. If you're a good defensive player, you're probably going to find your way into the game. If it's close, if it's a blowout, the manager might give you the whole day off. But I think it's a great stat, and it's a great thing to look at as games played. How many guys can answer the bell? And nowadays, if you can go 150 and above,
wow.
I mean, that says something about your ability and about your mental makeup and to be out there. Because believe it or not, in baseball, when you're playing every day and then you get a day off, it it literally feels like you've had 3 or 4 days off. You come back after a day off, and your timing's a little off, and it's amazing. Just one day off can make you feel like that. So guys like to be in there every day. It's a game of timing, and the hardest ones are the day games after a night game. You know, if this was a day game today, I think this is in the Giants' favor today in both teams because tough game last night, long game, and they get a full night's rest.
Sure.
Boy, JT Snow with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on here, really.
Thank you.
I'm always happy when you're out here. Comebacks. This team is coming back and coming back. Home runs. You were on some teams that scored a ton of runs.
Right.
Does this team remind you of anything?
It does. And we haven't seen that, I think, the last few years here. When the Giants would get down early, it was tough for them to come back. But they've got comeback power this year, and that just breeds confidence in the clubhouse and in the dugout during a game. You get down, you know, 3-0, 4-1.
Yeah.
You just you bide your time. You keep having good at-bats. And we're seeing guys be able to hit the ball out of the ballpark now. And that wasn't the case, I think, where this team was so geared towards pitching and not a lot of comeback power. And we had that when I was here with, you know, with Bonds and Kent and all the guys we had, Aurelia and all those guys. We'd never panic because we felt like we could come back. If we could get a couple guys on, somebody could pop one out of the ballpark. And that's big when you can hit a 2- or 3-run home run and get you right back in the game. So I thank God that they're able to come back this year so far, because as we were talking, the pitching has been a little bit off and they haven't been able to rely on that like they have in the past. So,
well, let's talk about the pitching. Pat, do you want to pose the question we've been talking about for a couple of days?
Well, in the media and the fans all want to say you can't grip after 6 starts. But what about Ryan Vogelsong? What's the mood of a player when he's got 1 quality start out of 6 and got an ERA up above 7? Is he gripping, or is that something the fans just say is, hey, man, it's only 1/5 of his starts for the season?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is look at the player's history, look at how old he is. If he's a young guy, you might worry about confidence, but if you've been there before. But I'll tell you, the one person that's upset with it the most is Ryan Vogelsong.
Sure.
And he's in there trying to look at video and talk to Rigetti and talk to the catcher and, you know, what's going on. And we've seen it with Matt Cain a little bit this year. And I think there's always room for concern until you put it together a couple good starts in a row, or until a hitter puts together a good week of at-bats or a good month.
Right.
But I'll tell you, the players are in there. The ones that are struggling are they're the most upset. And we were talking off the air, and I just think sometimes, you know, I think it's been a lot with the location of the pitchers this year, and sometimes you can throw too many strikes. And sometimes you come back, you know, the year later, and maybe your ball's just not moving or cutting or sinking the way. And that's what makes baseball, and that's what makes sports great, right? We're not robots. It's athletes on every day. What you show up with, people think you just roll out there and you have your stuff, but sometimes you don't. And, I see a lot of the pitches catching a lot of parts of the plate, and we're seeing a lot of home runs hit against the Giants pitchers. But, you know, on the other side, baseball is a game of averages, right? So maybe they get this all out of the way now, and maybe they come on. I don't think we're going to be sitting here in a month or two and Vogelsong's not going to have any wins, or Kane's not going to have any wins.
Kane hasn't won a game yet.
Right, no, he's having a tough year, too. And Tim Lincecum's had some tough outings, and Zito has had 2, right? And one down in San Diego and 1 in Milwaukee. But Vogelsong, the fans get such a kick out of how aggro he is, and that's like his legend is growing about how intense he is. What do you say to Vogelsong after a tough outing? Can you even go near him?
I stay away from all the pitchers. I would never, I wouldn't go around him. I mean, that's... See, they're different than a position player because they're gearing up as a starter. They get their shot once every 5 days.
Right.
And if they don't come through, number one, they feel like they've let the team down. And number two, they've got to sit on it for 4 more days until they can go back out there. Where a position player, you can have an 0-for-4 or 0-for-8. You're going to be out there the next day. So I was always from the school of stay away from the pitchers.
Give him a little space.
Yeah, give him space. Let him. That's one of the.
Who was the craziest that you were around? And when I say crazy, I mean the most idiosyncratic or something.
Sure.
Wow. That's Kurt Reeder was like that. Very,
was he really?
Yeah. Wow, that's shocking.
He was a guy that have fun the other 4 days, but when it was his day to pitch, no joking around.
Really.
Completely focused, and you just leave him alone and let him go do his thing. And he was always making sure the uniform fit right and the hat was right, and he had to look good in the uniform. But he was a lot like that. Rob Nen, our closer, if Rob blew a save, don't even go around him.
Really?
You know, he probably took a blown save harder than anybody I've ever played with about taking a loss or blowing a save or, you know, if a hitter strikes out with the bases loaded to not come through to win a game. But Rob Nen took it very, very hard, and we'd have to go in and pump him up. He was a guy that you could talk to, though. Pump him up, pat him, and then he would start asking you about it. Because sometimes pitchers are fragile, and if their pitches aren't breaking or they're not, you know, their velocity's down, they want to know why. And what am I doing? What am I doing different? And we're position players. We're more go with the flow. Oh, we'll be back out there tomorrow. I could go out and, break three bats and get three hits and go 3 for 4. Where as a pitcher, you have to be on. If you're not on, the hitters in the league are too good, and they're going to make you pay.
Well, that's the key. Yep. That is the key to the whole thing that we're talking about. The hitters are too good.
They are.
You put that ball over the plate, they don't miss it.
Right.
And that is what has happened with Kane and Vogelsong. Mm-hmm. I think that you hit it right on the head. I know you got to go to work. One last thought for you. Romo, the slider away, the two-seam coming back in. Are you shocked at this, surprised at this? Did you see it coming? Because he may be able to do this the whole season. I mean, they don't overuse him. He wasn't available last night. He's looking pretty good.
He's looking great. And you know what? He's got, as I think closers have to have, that one dominant strikeout pitch that's in the back of your mind as a hitter that, you know, when you get to two strikes, like, oh, no, I know it's coming, and it's hard to hit.
Yeah.
And so I think what's really helped him is he throws that slider at a right-hander. He'll throw it at his front hip now. Right, and the hitters are so used to the slider, middle away, and then away and off the plate. But when he throws that slider and starts it at a right-hander's front hip, it locks them up, and they can't get a swing off.
Yeah.
And I remember Sergio. This is a good story. He came up to me last year when Wilson was down, and he said, "Hey, they want me to close." And he told me, he's like, "I'm not sure I want to do it. I like being the eighth inning right-handed guy to get," and I said, "You'd be great as a closer. Are you kidding me?" And he's like, I don't throw hard enough. I don't, you know, that last 3 outs. And I said, "You'd be great as a closer.
Wow.
The slide, you've got the pitch." I mean, and you look at all the closers. Rob Nen had the slider. Rod Beck had the splitter. You know, all those guys. Bruce Sutter, the splitter. All the good closers have that one.
Hoffman, right?
The Trevor Hoffman had the changeup. Yeah. And you get up there as a hitter, and your whole mindset for that at bat is, don't let this guy get ahead of me, and don't let him get the two strikes, especially 0-2 or 1-2 or 2-2, because he can put me away.
Yeah.
And that's what Sergio has. So every time I see him now, I give him a little wink and say, you didn't want to close, did you? Look at you now. You're gonna make a heck of a lot more money being a closer than a setup guy. And closers go to the All-Star game, and setup guys really
– he's got his own gnome today.
Sergio, very good. So that Good Neighbor Pharmacy sponsoring
that. You know, it's a good lesson for people out there, kids pitching – high school call, and he throws 88, 89.
Yeah.
That's not fast for a fastball by Major League standard, but he's got great look at the walks.
And that's
it's mind-boggling.
It's Eckersley.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's Eckersley.
And he's got that slider. Now, if you could teach that slider to everybody, that's – but some guys have it and some guys don't. He's got that Frisbee slider, and you're right. Eckersley was the same way.
Yeah. Bang, 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 and you're done.
You knew he wasn't going to overpower you, but when you got up there late in the game, the ninth inning
– did you ever face him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
he was tough because he could just pinpoint – I mean, he would throw strike one on the outside, black, and then he could throw it an inch or two farther outside.
Right.
And you had to swing at it because the ump would give him the respect.
That's right.
Because he knew he's not throwing the ball all over the place. He's not a wild closer. But if a closer could come in and pound the strike zone and get off the plate and get a little more and more.
Yeah.
So Sergio's got that pitch. And I like to see him throw it, like I said, to that righty. Started at his front hip.
Yeah.
And it locks him up and it runs over the plate. So.
Wow, beautiful.
And yeah.
He's good, got
good
the moxie.
Analysis,
yeah,
good
right?
analysis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good analysis.
He's going to be okay. He's not, you know, he's not the biggest and strongest and physical intimidating guy like a Nen or a Brian Wilson, but the way Boach uses him, and he's about efficiency, right? Throwing strikes and trying to get 3 outs as quick as he can.
15 pitches.
Bam.
I can work with that.
Exactly. So I let him know on a daily basis about
very good.
Him not wanting to close and me telling him he'd be a great closer.
Well, JT, before you go throw batting practice, I heard you on the radio the other day, and you talked about your foundation, your organization, a family member, right? And
right.
So I want to give you a chance now if that's something that the fans can get involved with and help you out.
Yeah, they can just have a niece. My sister lives in St. Louis. It has a terminal illness, and the snowfoundation.org. And it's basically a type of juvenile diabetes that kids get afflicted with, and she has it, and we're just trying to raise money to give to the doctors at Washington University in St. Louis that are studying this, and you know, they've found the gene that causes it. We're just trying to get them, raise money to get them to hold these clinics to do as anything in science and medicine. So you have to do the tests on the kids and figure out, you know, what's causing it. And we've got some great doctors working. So you can go to that website, and we've had people, you know, donate $5, $10. People nice. Donate more, but all the money goes, we don't take a penny of it. It all goes to the doctors for research and studying. So there's a lot of hope on the horizon, and we're just trying to keep it going. Spread the word, yeah.
Good thank job. You. Snowfoundation.org.
Yeah, that's it, the Snow
thanks,
Foundation.
Jay, thanks for coming out.
Oh, anytime. It's fun. Yeah,
what a pleasure.
It.
Come
yeah,
on. You know, when I'm on vacation, Pat, bring him in, would you please?
You got it, Marty.
Really.
If I'm not doing some Pac-12 baseball,
that's right.
I'll sit
He's
in.
He's a very busy man. But
yeah,
we love having you on.
Thank you. Anytime.
Thanks, JT.
All right,
you got it.
JT Snow fans, let's hear it for him.
Give it up. Yeah.
All right.